problem that we're facing. There is the political situation in our country. And I normally don't really talk politics, but I'll say this. In reading some of the stories, whether they were true stories or fake stories, or even listening to the Senate debate, all I could do is just shake my head. And I can say to you truthfully that there still may be tough times ahead. So when things come and everything seems to just be thrown up into the air, if you will, if we're not careful, even Christians, we could be brought to a place of fear. You know, I don't know what to do. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how I'm going to handle this one. And yes, I'm reminded that James in James 1 says to count it all joy when you go through various trials. And that word various is multifaceted, multiple colored trials, trials of a variety of kind, because God knew that different things impact us in different ways. And then we learn out of that, Elaine, that trials are good for us. How in the world are trials good for us? Because we learn in those trials to trust God and find in Him faithfulness in our variety of circumstances or our situations. Now, while we don't enjoy the pain, we don't enjoy the suffering, but we appreciate as we look back on those times that it was a time of growth. That is what the psalm that we're going to be looking at today is about. We're going to be looking at Psalm 46. And let me say this before we actually read it. This Psalm 46, it was written to remind the Jewish believers of the greatness. Now, the Jewish believers, so it was for the New Testament believers, to remind them of the greatness of the God that was the God of Israel. And that they needed to settle their confidence in the God of Israel. And I believe that's true for us today. Because every trial, everything that we're going through, it brings about that challenge and that opportunity. Because sometimes we get so caught up on the trial, Dale, and its problems, we fail to stop and say that this is another opportunity for me to trust God and for me to grow, for me to really show if I believe what I say I believe. So you don't want to miss the blessings in the trials. Now, I didn't say it feels good, but there is blessing in it. So if you have not turned to it already, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46. It's 11 verses long. We'll be reading from the NIV. If you are new here and you did not bring a Bible, if you look beneath the seat in front of you, there should be one. And if you do not own one, please take it as our gift to you. Psalm 46, once you find it, please rest again on your feet. It's the New International Version that we'll be reading from in case it reads a little different. I'll read it in your hearing. Here's how it reads. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow or the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And finally, verse 11, Psalmist, this is David writing this. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So I've taken the liberty of our title from the text itself in verse 1. God is our refuge, our strength, our help. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, unless your spirit takes your words and move in the hearts of men, it will have no impact. So we pray now, God, that you would glorify your name by ministering to our hearts. This week reminded me and others how uncertain life can be. Encourage the hearts of people today, God, with this reminder that you, our God, is our refuge, our strength, and our help. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have your seat. As stated earlier and even stated in the prayer, this Psalms 40, this 46th Psalm, if you will, it is about a time of uncertainty, a time of fear. And there's not the clarity that we like to have in our lives, Drill, where we already, that settledness, that we know what's expected, that we plan for this or plan for that. What about those things that you don't plan for, that take you off guard? You never saw it coming. And so I believe God is challenging Israel in this psalm with their situation. And if you go back, and I'm encouraging you to go back and read it carefully, it's a discouraging situation. It's a psalm that I believe is not just relevant for the Jewish believers, but to us today as well. And I need to say this, that it's a psalm that was supposed to be sung. For those who are looking in their Bibles, and we didn't put it up on the screen, but there's a heading at the beginning of it. It says, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. The last words there, it's a song. So this was supposed to be sung regularly as the Jews came to worship at the temple, and it would be impressed in their minds about their God. And we do this even with our songs. Even after you leave or you riding down the road, even with some of the songs we sang in worship, you might find yourself repeating those songs or singing portions of those songs because they are impressed in our minds. And what the psalm is telling us is the only place, the only secure place in an uncertain world, in a world filled with sickness, disease, hardships, oppositions, trials of many kinds, the only place of security is our God. God is our refuge, our strength, our help. And read it closely because it's actually repeated throughout the psalm, well, really three times in these 11 verses. In verse 1, then in verse 7, and then in verse 11, it's said one way or another, not saying the exact same words, but saying the same thing, that God is our refuge, our strength, our help. So it's at the beginning, it's in the middle, and it's at the end. And I want you to think about it, because in order for you to appreciate it, you gotta think about it. You ever gone through something that you were dreading it so bad that all you could do to keep yourself from falling to pieces was just repeating verses over and over in your head. Lord, I remember you promised that you'd never leave me or forsake me. How many times we've done that? Lord, you said, lo, I will be with you always. And why do we do that? Because we are constantly reminding ourselves what? Of God's promises. But many of us sitting here, many of you watching, we are all too familiar with. It's easy to quote verses. And it's easy to talk confidently about God when things are well. But what about when the world collapses in on you? When that wife not acting right, look straight. Or that husband not acting right, right? Or, and I just say that because we don't know what's going on behind every closed door. And some people are really, really struggling right now. And we feel so overwhelmed. It feels like, I even had one person tell me this week, it feels like I can hardly breathe. Now comes the challenge, as all trials do, where you must put your theology into practice. Now you get to see if you really believe what you say you believe about your God. So that is what God, through this psalmist, is challenging Israel, and even for us today, challenging them to do. So the setting of the psalm is in Israel, particularly Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is under some type of special assault or attack from some enemy army. And when they are attacked, as it is back in biblical times, it affects everything, right? It affects everything, the security of the people, their food and their water supply, and what about their families? Because, see, most of us don't realize in biblical settings that, you have your certain place where you might live, and then when things like this happen, there's a fortified city that you have to run back to. If an army was coming and the alarm was sounded, you had to run and get inside the walls. So that's the setting that we have. And we should be able to go through this fairly quickly because we're going to do it in bulk, like verses 1 through 3, I believe, makes a point. Then verses 4 through 7, and then 8 through 11. So what I want to do now is I'll read verses 1 through 3 again for you, but let me say this before even reading. The first three verses in this song, because that's what it is, right? It tells us that when the world all around us, and even the world, you're going to see why I say this, even the world under us, when it is disintegrating and collapsing, that we are safe if God is our God. Let's read it. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Verse 3, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. So here, and go back. So here in these first three verses, you have what we might call, not just what we might call, but what is called a hyperbole. It's demonstrating the worst thing that you could imagine that could happen. What if everything around you crumbled? Everything. The earth gave way. Think about that. Try to use your sanctified imagination for a moment and picture that. What if the whole earth gave way and the mountains fell into the sea? And it's picturing a hyperbole of a natural disaster that is felt on a world's level. And while it's a hyperbole now, it really is speaking of something that will truthfully happen later in the future. But we've all seen pictures or videos of natural disasters as recent as Hurricane Ian in Florida. And we saw what it did. And now the psalmist says that even if all of that happened on a worldly scale, we will not fear. Why? I mean, you got to think about it. Because when we think about the earth, at least I do, I think about something that's firm, something firm or unmovable. It's the earth, right? And he doesn't just say, if the earth gives way, that's kind of hard for me to imagine. But there are things that happen in our personal lives that it makes it feel like the ground from under us is not stable anymore. These things that come up in our lives that God allows to impact our lives, it feels like things, we say it this way, it feels like the bottom falling out. So the psalmist says, when the ground is shaken and the waters are rising, our natural reaction is to fear, right? But the psalmist says he will not be afraid. Because I believe the psalmist believes that his God is higher than the waters. His God is stronger than the mountains. God is our refuge. He says God is our refuge, our strength, and our help. The psalmist recognizes that the presence and the protection of God in the midst of a natural disaster. And I never knew my grandmother them, and you probably had your grandmothers or older people from older generations used to say it. I know we used to sing it and used to hear them say it, but I never really understood what they meant. He's the shelter in the middle of the storm. But the psalmist was singing that. He was reminding them of that. And get this now, because I know what our skeptics think. Our skeptics say, well, if he's God and he's all powerful and he can do all things, why even allow you to even go through some things like that? And they don't want to hear the answer to it. But we live in a world where sin has entered into this world and it has affected everything. And yes, God has a solution. And his timing is not your timing. But that doesn't mean that it's not real. But the psalmist says God is our refuge. And again, so that the Jewish believers would have really appreciated this, because they knew all the stories of their ancestor. They knew all the stories of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew all of what we call the Old Testament, where they knew about a psalm like this, where it reminded them and it gives the picture of even when armies are attacking physically back then, again, they had a fortified or a walled city, a place of refuge, a place of safety. And the psalmist is saying that if the most drastic thing that you can think of happened, God is your safe place. And not only that, because not only was that place, that city, a place of refuge, you just left everything out there to get in here. And it reminds them that not only when you get in here, when you got to worry about your water, your food, there is strength and supply in here. Because he is your help. And not just help, but your present help in trouble. This word trouble here is talking about tight places. It's talking about small, tight places. And he's trying to get them to understand that, again, no matter come what may, there is a God, the God of Israel, that you could turn to and find safety and find what you need. Now, I must reiterate this again. Notice what the psalmist doesn't say. The psalmist doesn't say he's going to keep them from coming. No, your safety is found in him. Because see, today, you know, our safety is in our alarm systems or our guns or all that. No, your true safety is in God. God is your refuge. God is your strength. Because these situations, these circumstances, sometimes they get to the best of it and we feel like, I feel so weak. I feel like I can't go on. God is your strength. As a matter of fact, the New Testament, it will tell you that when you are weak, then he is strong. It says then he is made strong, but it's not that you are making him strong, but that's when you really see. And see, we don't quite make the connect the dots. It's just like when we got money, just like when things are going well. We don't really look at God because we feel like we're doing something. It's when God allows us to be put in a position. There's nothing you can do about your situation. You don't have enough money. You don't have the answer. And all you can do is run to him and trust him. So this psalmist, David, that is reminding them that if the worst of the worst came, this is where you got to put your theology into practice. This is where you're going to have to walk by faith. This is where you're going to have to really believe that God is your refuge, your strength, and your help. That is because God is our God. Watch this now. Go to verse 4 for me. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Pointing to Jerusalem here now. This is where you heard me in the beginning say this is speaking to the nation of Israel, particularly Jerusalem. Go to verse 5. Because that was Jerusalem is the city of God. Go to verse 5 for me. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so what I learned from verses 4 to 7 is when attacks come from the outside, from enemies, not only can the Jewish believers rely on this, but you and I can rely on it, even though it may not be physical people coming against us, whatever our situations are that coming against us, we are again secure because God is our God. And again, these are not promises that we won't have to go through things. This is not a promise that God will protect us from hardship or sickness or physical death even. Because we've already been told that in this life we're going to have troubles. Even in sickness, we've been told that though we outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And even if some of us lose our physical lives to death, we find the encouragement in knowing that what? The perishable must put on the imperishable. The mortal must put on immortality. Then it can be said what is true that, oh, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Praise or thanks be unto God. Because we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he tells these Jewish believers that think about the God of Israel. No matter what they were going through, they could find gladness through God's presence and assurance of his protection. Because when God chose them as his own special people, he manifested himself in a way to show that he was truly among them. That he was their God. But the reality is that attacks would come. But God, the God who could speak those things that be not as though they were, he could just utter a voice if he wanted to and change everything. So even in the most chaotic of times, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, God is in control. No matter how many times Pharaoh would reject Moses and not let the people go, God was always in control. Moses, yeah, he won't listen to me. Oh, I knew this was going on to harden his heart. I knew that. Don't worry, we're getting somewhere, Moses. I got one that's coming. Trust me, he's going to let him go. God is always in control. There is nothing you're dealing with that God doesn't care about. And that he's not in complete control. There is nothing we're facing that God doesn't already know about. You know, I know it gets hard because you don't understand why God, why me, why you allow me. This is when you're going to have to trust him. His ways are not mine. His thoughts are higher than mine. But the psalmist tells them, look, go back. You have to go back to verse 4 there. I'll read it for you. You don't have to turn back where they went back. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The holy place where the Most High dwells. Read it all together here. Verse 5 now. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. And most people read this psalm and think that this means again, because it says she will not fall, God will help her at the break of day. This simply means that no matter what we're going through, we're going to come out of it the way we think we're supposed to come out of it. And that's just not the case. That's just not the case. What you and I can look forward to and have the assurance of that regardless of these now times, there's coming a day that what we have promised for us, these now times won't even compare to it. That what we're going through now is but temporary. That God has already prepared a place Well, there's going to come a time when there will be no more of these things. And now that's what you're getting ready to see he's going to turn our attention to. That God is going to finally come and bring judgment. And it won't be that he's going to create more chaos, but he's going to bring about peace. God is our refuge, our strength, and our help. And so verse 7, he says this, the Lord Almighty is with us. I like the NASB translation right here because it says the Lord of hosts is with us. And so it's talking about the leader of the angelic armies, the commander of armies of angels is with us. My mind went back to Elijah the prophet, and when they were out and he had a young man with him, and he was fearful because he could hear the army surrounding him, just like our text is talking about. And he was like, what are we going to do? And the prophet looks up and said, God, will you open this boy's eyes so he can see what I see? And when God opened his eyes, he saw the armies of heaven around them, surrounding the army. That was, says there are more with us than those who are against us. Again, though, somehow it fails to connect there, because we think that when God talks about fighting our battles, we have in our mind how that's supposed to finish. We think that that means we don't get sick. Everything works out the way we want it to be. Everything, our children act the way we want them to act. Everything does the way we think it ought to be. And that's just not the case. You just have to trust. You have to believe that God is who he say he is, and that he is not like man, that he's not a liar, that he keeps all of his promises. So he says the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob, and the reason he makes reference to him being the God of Jacob, because this speaks to him being a covenant faithful God. The promises that he made, that regardless of all the things that you guys are going to have to face, God made a promise, and he will fulfill that promise. And even today, right down to today, that's why as small as that place is, when you look at it in comparison to other places, when we talk about Israel, nobody has really conquered this place in the way that they would desire to, because there is a divine protection upon that place. Because God is going to keep his promise. So he says, the Lord Almighty, the powerful leader of the armies of angels, and the faithful, the merciful, and the faithful covenant God, that's who you have as your God. And if he is that God, you don't have to fear. Now watch this in verse 8 through 11. He kind of changed our focus, and now he shows them what is to come. And I believe show us what is to come. So regardless of your circumstance, regardless of what you're going through, no matter how long it has it been, listen to how he encourages them and says, you keep singing this song over and over and over and impress it in your mind. Come and see what the Lord has done. Even though he's talking about the future now. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Go to the 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. So in verse 8, we were called to come and see. Come and see the work of God. And in verse 9, he shows us that God doesn't, again, come with judgment in order to bring more destruction. But if you pay closely attention to it, look what he's doing. He makes war cease to the ends, or he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He's talking about establishing peace in the hope that you and I have. And God is saying that one day, the thing that you think is about to break you and destroy you, one day God is going to finally deal with it. He brings desolation or judgment, and then disarms the army, is breaking the bow and destroying the weapons of the enemies. And then he not only does he cause us to come and see Tammy, but he says, you're called to be still. Go to verse 10. Be still. Be still. Stop. Surrender. Let go. And acknowledge that God is at work. Now, let me put a pin there. I'm not talking about things which are consequences that you bring upon yourself. Because we already talked about do what you know. Do what you know. Because some things we bring consequences on ourselves. And they'll be like, well, God got me in this. No, you got yourself in that. Now, he still is a present help. But you're going to have to submit. He is an ever-present help. But don't get it twisted now. But there are those things that are beyond our control. We have no control over it. I don't care how much you exercise. I don't care how well you eat. I don't care how diligent you are with your taxes and your finances and all that. There are things that you can't control that God allows in your life. And he allows it so that you will know. He's not leaving you to yourself, so that you will know. You and I cannot live in this world apart from him. We need him. Like the songwriter said, every day, every hour, I need thee. Through this psalm, I learned, Tammy, that God is sovereign. He is sovereign, but he wants us to see and trust that he is sovereign. But we have this thing. We gotta be careful about this. And I want you to really get this. How can I be still when it looked like everything? I mean, if you think about it, let's just be realistic. Now, I'm being transparent and realistic. I'm in a real physical storm and stuff falling around. I mean, how you talking about be still? What's the point, God, that you're trying? Again, the hyperbole there. He wants us to understand something here. And what he's trying to get us to understand is we have to be still in this fallen world in the sense that we understand that Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us the end result. Jesus Christ. Now, when David was writing this, ultimately, it was still waiting on Jesus to come, right, and to bring this judgment and peace. But if you can receive it, Jesus has already conquered sin, death, the grave, and Satan. It is finished. So, there may be still yet future events that have to play out before we see our great salvation, but it's all playing out according to God's appointed times. But it is done. So what's relevant for us today, when it says, he says, talking about God, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter look like what. Let's just take a current event. It doesn't matter what Putin think he's doing over there or any other. Doesn't even think what our president think he's doing. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth, because what he just talked about is surely going to come to pass. There's going to come the day, I don't care what man has laid out on his map, what his strategy was, what he planned, and what he said he was going to do. When God says, my time, he will bring to pass everything that he has said. That's why it's called prophecy. And that's why I really, truly accept what the Bible has said. All the things that it prophesied, it happened just as he said it would, and those future things, I have no reason to doubt that they will happen just as he said they would. And so we have a repeat in verse 11 here of what I believe. Remember I said that he says it at the beginning, he says it in the middle, and he says it at the end. God is our refuge, our strength, our peace, or our help. And then in verse 7, he says this same thing, which I believe is just another way of saying what verse 1 said. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now in 11, he repeats it again. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And what I get from all of this is there is nothing outside. I need protection. I need inner strength. I need help, even in when I feel like I'm in the tightest of places. When I feel like I got no place to go. The psalmist says, keep reminding yourself, KP, that God is your refuge, your strength, your help. So we will not fear. It says, be still. Know that I am God. Here's how you know it. You know it by putting it into practice. Don't know it just because you can quote the scripture. When you're going through, this is what it means to have the peace that surpasses all understanding. See, we think that means it's something that's just going to come over us. No, the peace that surpasses all understanding is when you look at my situation and circumstance and you think, man, I don't know how you're doing it, and I'm reminding myself in my inner man, God is my refuge, my strength, my help. That's the peace that surpasses understanding, because they just sitting back waiting to see you fall apart. They sitting back waiting for it to take you under or destroy you. And they wonder, oh, she got a fake smile on her face. No, that's joy in her heart. Oh, she's pretending like her circumstance. No, that circumstances is bothering, but she's trusting in the Lord. No matter what happens, no matter what life brings, the scripture reminds us that we are safe in the care of our God. So he says, even when the earth falls from under our feet, even when chaos surrounds us, and that means so much, it's different for all of us because of your own personal circumstances and situations. But God is our refuge, our strength, and our help. So it's better to just trust him and let him do his work. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the grace revealed in your word. If they can receive it, God, the grace of your love for us. You never said that you would keep us from the storms, but that your grace would be sufficient. You love us when we're lost in our sin. And it is an eternal, unending, unbroken love every moment of every day. You are with us. You care for us. You protect us. Trials come, but only according to your will for us. Lord, may we not lose sight of the ultimate end. I mean, that's what you've been sharing with us over these past few weeks, God, about our anticipation of your return, the day of victory, that we get to share in that victory because we share in the wonders of the salvation you have provided through your son, Jesus. I pray for any here, God, who can't be still, who can't be relaxed, God, who don't know peace because they don't know that you are God. May this be a day of salvation when they place their faith in Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't have anyone that's here. Do you have music play softly for me? But I do want you to think about this. All this week, over and over and over again, I even had somebody tell me this morning, you look very tired. So forgive me if I'm apologetic about that. I am. I'm tired. But all this week, I get the sense I was getting just a glimpse of what people are feeling right now. They're so tired. They've been going through so much in their lives. And everybody's, again, circumstances are not the same. And I'm just so grateful that God would remind us and encourage us today how we have a place we can run to. It's going to be foolish to other people. And I thought about that too, Dale. To them, it's foolish for us to say, well, God is our refuge and strength. But your situation hasn't changed. But we know what is to come. That's why we have this peace. their situation haven't changed either. And what they don't realize, you still have something else to be more fearful of. I'm so glad. No, he didn't promise me. I wish he did, but he didn't promise me he's going to keep me from troubles in this life. He just promised me, KP, but for those who will endure, they will receive the promises. All these things are building our character. Patience is having her perfect work, causing us to trust in our God. And the thing that I get it, because I have to keep reminding myself the same thing. All you have to do but look, KP, to the last time you thought the world was going to fall apart. He brought you through that. Why wouldn't he be faithful now? One second. Okay, we'll let him do one second. But God encourages us today. So two things I'm commanded in this text. He goes through all of this saying these things going to happen. And the two things I'm commanded of in this text is come and see and be still. Come and see and be still. So for those little, that was just a few examples I gave this morning. We'll see how God works in each of those situations and those circumstances. After this, Erwin, if you could prepare yourself, I'm going to get you to come and pray for us. And if there are any of you who are here, if you'd like to, after service, you'd like to talk about your personal relationship with the Lord, I'll hang around. If you're not sure, if you want to hear it again, I don't have a problem with that. I'm sure I can speak for the elders here as well. But Lamar is going to share a personal testimony here.
I could not do this. This scripture is very important to me. And maybe only a few of you have been around long enough to even know what I'm about to share. But 21 years ago, I was a young salesman. I was tied as number one in North America in performance, and I was rolling along. My companies had been bought and sold two or three times, and I always came out smelling like a rose, thank you, Jesus. Because if your numbers were good, you know, you're fine. But I was working for a company that was a $24 billion company at that time, globally, and their corporate headquarters in Switzerland decided that they had gotten too, well, they said fat and happy around the world, and they laid off 25% of their workforce globally. I wasn't worried about it. They'd announced the date, and we had 3 months to know it was coming, but I was top salesman. I wasn't worried about it. They don't ever let go of the top guy. Well, guess what? I was a young salesman with a stay-at-home mom because we decided we wanted to raise our girls that way, and two little girls and a house payment that we thought was too big. And suddenly, bam. We're okay. God's always been there. No problem. So I start immediately looking for a job for a couple of weeks. Well, if you hadn't done the 21-year part, 2 weeks into my job search, 9/11 happened. Job ads, job searches disappeared. They rolled up the sidewalks and it was gone. Nobody was doing anything. No business was looking for anyone. Well, one of the things that company did is they were letting go of that many people around the world. They were worried about lawsuits, so they had sent out a document with your paperwork and said, if you sign this, we will double your severance package. I was supposed to get 9 weeks, I got 18. And then 9/11 happened 2 weeks into this, and there was nothing going on. I mean, nowhere. Didn't matter how early I got up in the morning, how hard I searched the internet, there was nothing. And I want you to know that God whispered, I felt like repeatedly, daily, in my ear, be still and know that I am God. That's all. I felt like he was whispering that over my shoulder all day. Be still and know that I am God. I got 18 weeks of severance by doubling it. And 13 weeks to the day it happened, I had a new job in a new industry, which God has blessed me in now for 21 years. Be still and know that I'm God. Gets me every time.
I'm sure if I gave all the time, I'm sure we could stay in here all day. All you have to do is think back. When I look around here, yep, we all in here old enough to have gone through some things. So I appreciate you sharing that. And God wants us even now. I don't want to get up here and send some deceptive message to say that tomorrow things are going to be so much better for you. I don't know that. But I do know this, that for those of us who are waiting on the promises of God, we will not be disappointed. I have come to accept there that nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring. You have to live every day trusting the Lord that His grace will truly be sufficient. All we need to do is look to the New Testament. The apostles who were closest to Jesus, and there were at least 11, and then we saw Paul come along, but who walked with Him daily, and we saw that they struggled almost every day of their lives, earthly lives. And they did so because they believed. They kept going because they believed that Jesus would do exactly what He said He would do. Because He rose from the dead, we too will rise and we will be with Him. That's the hope we hold on to. God is our refuge, our strength, our help. Our brother Erwin is going to come as he's led to pray for us. Again, if you want to hang around, we'll be around.
Thank you. I'd like to open up the altar also for anybody who, you know, feels they need prayer while we're praying. But I look at this psalm and I like to look at it from the reverse to the front. He starts off, he ends off saying, be still. But then he starts off saying, God is our refuge. You know, sometimes you got to be still to realize that you find all your dependency and trust and safety in God. Amen. So as we come in and as we stand, ask everybody to stand with me. And as we stand and engage God in prayer, I like to encourage everybody first to be still. That means just settle your mind. Everybody's going through quite a bit. Some people's sickness, some people finances, some people things with their family, and some things just are internal. You're just trying to figure it out. But I encourage you just to be still first. Just settle yourself. But don't just settle yourself on, you know, how the world tells us to just, everything gonna be okay. That's not our hope. That's not where we placed our trust. That's not where we place our faith at. We find our refuge, our support, our strength as God. He's our refuge. He's a fortress around us. Amen. Amen. Let us go to Him in prayer. Father God, we thank You again. We don't take it lightly that You give us this privilege to engage You in prayer. The Creator of the universe, who is very mindful of us human beings, and You allow us to engage You in prayer. To talk to You, to be able to get to a very intimate and close place with You, God. that you're able to get down to the core of who we are and begin to extract those things, God, that are just weighing us down, leading us astray, taking us in a place that you don't desire for us to go in. Father, we pray today, God. We lift up our voices, our hands, and our hearts to you, God. And we just open our hearts to you today, God. And Lord, help us, God, to place our complete trust in you, Father. Father, we are experiencing so much right now, but you know you're mindful of these things. Lord, help us to know and understand and just to internalize you as our refuge, God, to stay inside those boundaries, God, of your safety. Father, we pray right now, Lord, for the heavy-hearted. Lord, those who have come in here, God, just with heavy hearts, God, either through some type of family issue, just some issue within themselves, God, that is trying to figure it out. God, we just pray, God, your word says to you that you are closer than a brother. And that if we come and we cast all our cares on you, God, we can do that because you care for us. So, Father, Lord, we just at this moment, God, help us to just cast everything that's weighing us down. Help us to cast it on you right now, God. But help us to leave, Lord, whatever we came here that's weighing us down, God. Help us to leave it right here symbolically, Lord, at this place that we call the altar, but God, this place of sacrifice, God. But help us to just die here today, God, within ourselves, God, not trusting in our own efforts, but God, trusting in yours, Father. God, and those who've come here with sicknesses, God, Lord, you didn't say you're going to make everything perfect, but you said that if we trust in you, God, and your will, God, that everything will be according to your will, Father. So, Father, we just pray, God, for those who are sick, God, who are reaching out and crying out to you, God. You know those who you're going to heal, God, and you know those who you're going to bring through, Father. So, Father, we just pray, God, for the minds of everybody here, Lord, not to lose hope and not to lose faith in you, Father. We pray for the church as a whole, Father. Lord, as we continue to grow spiritually, God, and the attacks of the enemy are many, God, against us. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we continue to take our refuge and our hope and our trust and our faith in you. Father, we're thankful, Father. We're thankful, Father. We're thankful for all that you do for us and all of the blessings that you bless us with, Father. Lord, and we pray this prayer and all other prayers in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, the commander of heaven's armies, the merciful and covenant faithful God, to him be glory in the church. And all those who believe said amen, 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 and amen. God bless you. You have a great Sunday.